relationship with God. So what I want to tell you, first off, that we need to think about is that prayer is a lifeline that every Christian needs daily. It is a lifeline. It is not something to be used in moments of crisis only. And for some folks, that's the only way they know how to pray. A moment of crisis comes, a moment of need comes, and they pray at those times. That is not what prayer is all about. That is one small piece of prayer. Because you see, prayer is a lifeline that we need every day. I don't know about you, but before my feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm praying. As the alarm goes off and I turn it off, the next thing I do is I start talking to God. That's what prayer is, and that's what I want you to understand. It's talking with God. Okay? It's also, and I'll do a little bit more about this later, it's also listening to God. It's not just talking to God. Some folks think that you come to prayer when you come to God in prayer, you list to God everything that needs to be done in the midst of the world and in your universe, so that God knows all the things today that need to be done. Well, I'm going to tell you this. God already knows what needs to be done. Prayer is not about us giving God directions for the day. Okay? God, you've got to save this person, and God, you've got to heal this person. Now, we do need to pray about those things. Okay? We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But prayer is a lifeline of us coming to God as often as we can. I can tell you that in my prayers, very rarely do I say amen. We think about amen being the end, and we're done with our prayers. Okay? I've never done with my prayers. My prayers last throughout the whole day. Now, for those of you that don't know, amen is a Hebrew word. It is a Hebrew word, and it just means, so may it be. This is what we pray. This is what we desire. This is where we need help. And God, so may it be. That's what amen means. But very rarely, because I'm continuously praying as often as I can, throughout the day, very rarely do I use the word amen in thinking about now I'm done with my prayers for the day. Because it's a continuing, ongoing thing. It's a lifeline. It is a lifeline that we so desperately need. Now, as you think about the Lord's Prayer in particular, as Jesus teaches them this model prayer, it's not a prayer that's the only prayer we're supposed to say. It's a model prayer, and it gives us some ideas about things that we should be praying about. But one of the things I want you to notice in the Lord's Prayer is all pronouns are plural. All pronouns are plural. In the way that we normally pray, what do we say? We say, our Father. We don't pray it and say, my Father. Give us this day, our daily bread. Not give me. Okay? Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our debts, however you pray that. Forgive us as we forgive others. By the way, that's one part of the prayer that I would expect a lot of people never say. Think about it for a minute. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. I know a lot of people in the midst of this world that are not willing to forgive people. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer that way, we're saying, God, we want you to forgive us in the exact same way we forgive other people. And no more. That should cause us to do some thinking. You see, prayer is a community practice. It is a community practice. Yes, I can pray alone. Don't get me wrong. But it's a community practice. As someone got to me recently and said, you've been on my mind. And this week, I've been praying. It made a world of difference to me. To know that somebody had spent the week praying for me because God had put me on their heart. It's a community practice. It's something that we do together in praying for each other, in lifting up our community here. The words that Jesus teaches, it's a community prayer. It's not meant to be prayed just by one individual. It's community. We're supporting and we're encouraging each other. If people don't want to hear me share the gospel because they don't want to accept it and they don't want to deal with their relationship with God, you know what? They can't stop me from praying for them. They can't stop me from praying for them. They can stop me from sharing the gospel with them. But I can still pray that God would soften their heart, that God would open a door into their life, that they might hear about the Christ who died for them and that they can have eternal life. I can pray for you throughout this week. And I can lift you up into God's presence and ask God to do what you need. It's a community thing. I truly think that sometimes as we're out and about and doing different things, when someone's name comes across our mind, God's asking us to stop for a second and pray for them. I will also tell you this, and this is a neat thing to do, and I would encourage you to do it sometime. Whether you're at a mall, or whether you're at a festival, or whether you're just in a restaurant, and you see someone that you know needs something from God, sometimes you can see that. A mother with a fussy child, someone that's struggling to get up and out of a chair, I would encourage you to stop at that moment and pray for them. Just a short one-sentence prayer. Here's the amazing thing that I'll tell you about. I've done this many times, in malls especially. You pray for people like that, and you can watch them turn and look to you. It's amazing. And they turn and look at you like, you just did something, but I don't know what you did. And that may be the prayer that they needed for that day. That may be the prayer that they needed for that day. It's a community thing. It's not just about me coming to God and telling God what I want. Do you realize in the Lord's Prayer, the way it states this, and the best way to understand this, is it says, give us this day our what? It doesn't say, give us our bread for tomorrow. It doesn't say, make our pantry full. It doesn't say, make my bank account full for the rest of this year. Give to me, Lord, what I need this day and no more. This day and no more. With an emphasis on now, on this moment, on this time. Not an emphasis on later. Think about that when you pray. Where is your focus? I do want to tell you this, that when you pray, God will interact with you. God will interact with you when you pray. God will reach into your life and will talk to you. God will do things in the midst of your life. God will enlighten you on things as you pray. What does it say? Let me read this part of the passage again. It says, so I say to you in verse 9, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God is going to interact with you as you pray. This is why you've heard me say many, many times, prayer is a two-way street.
I change.
Not a one-way street.
That's the only
prayer thing is a change, two-way yes. street.
Yeah.
I can listen to it and
see if we get anything. It might be, but you never know.
Because God is trying to talk to you as you pray. Are you listening? There's examples all throughout Scripture of God speaking. And I truly believe that God still speaks to us today, sometimes in audible ways, sometimes through circumstances. Sometimes as we read the Scripture, something jumps off the page at us. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people, whether they're Christians or not. And sometimes God speaks to us while we pray. There's something that quickens in our heart and something that happens. We ask and God responds. We seek and God shows us where. We knock and the door opens. You've heard about the poor man in the midst of the flood, haven't you? He got him and his family up onto the roof of the house because the waters got so high. And he said, let's pray that God will save us. And someone comes along in a boat and says, get in. And he says, no, it looks like your boat's almost full. You guys go ahead. And then the Army Corps of Engineers comes along and tries to pick them up and says, no, there's other people more deserving than us. You pick them up. And they continue to pray. And they die in the flood. And you get to heaven and the man says to God, God, we pray. And God said, yeah, no, I sent a boat. God said, yeah, I know, I sent the Army Corps of Engineers. You know, God is going to speak to us while we pray. We need to be listening. We need to be noticing what's happening around us when we pray. Because if we don't notice what's happening around us when we pray, we may very well miss the answer that God is bringing to us. If our prayer is all about rushing to God and telling God what God needs to do this day, and saying amen, and we rush off and do our life, we may miss the very thing that God's trying to talk to us about. That's part of the reason why when I do the morning prayer during the worship service, I say, let's just pause. Let's just pause and be silent for a moment. I have found that people do not like silence. I have found that people have to fill silence. If you want to test this theory, all you got to do when you're talking with somebody is stop talking. Watch them supply all the words to fill the silence. Silence is okay. It's during the times of silence I might hear God. If I'm attuned to it. If I'm aware, it's okay to turn the radio off when you're driving the car. Did you ever think about that? It's okay to turn the radio off and play no music whatsoever. God may be speaking to you. It's okay not to have the television on in the background while you're walking around the house. God might be speaking. I'd love to teach my mother that. My mother can watch the Weather Channel all day. All day. And sometimes I just want to sneak up and go, I don't think the weather changes that quick, but you've got to watch it all day. If the weather's going to change that quick, they're going to be letting you know ahead of time. And as I go to the rec center and I see the news on the TV there at the rec center, that's the only place that I watch TV. And I wish they didn't have TV sometimes. And I see these things that, news alert, breaking news, and they're telling me what happened 2 days ago. And some people are buying into that it's something new that they got to pay attention to. Folks, sometimes I think Satan uses all of those things to keep us from listening to God. I hope at least during your prayer time, you're giving God an opportunity, because God is going to interact with you. It says here in the scripture, when we ask, what will happen? It will be given. It says, if we seek, you will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. Are you seeing those things happen? Are you paying attention to what God is doing in the midst of those times? That's part of prayer. That is part of prayer. And ask my wife or my kids, I can sit for hours on end and never make a sound. Well, never say a word. I'm going to make sound. You can ask Jan, I make sound all the time. And I don't even know I'm doing it. I still remember one day I came in with a piece of paper to give to her, and and she goes, I was wondering whose fire I was leaking. And I was like, what? Well, one of the things I want to make sure is I want to make sure that I hear God when God speaks. And an active and a full prayer life is about being able to hear God, not just me telling God a list of things. It's about hearing God too. The other thing I'll tell you that goes along with this ask, seek, knock. Bring your concerns to God and open up about them. Bring your concerns to God and open up about them. No matter what they are. And I'll take it even one step further, since I believe prayer to be a community event. Tell some other faithful Christians that you trust what your concerns are. Do not hold on to them just yourself. Allow the community to help you pray for them. Ask. Seek. Knock. I still can't believe the one individual I met, I asked them, I said, tell me about your prayer life. They were going through a difficult time. And they told me I'd never prayed. And I said, why do you never pray? Because God already has so many things to take care of. I don't want to burden God with my little problems. And I just looked at it and said, how sad that. Scripture says to open up, to share with God your hurts, your pains, your anguish. We have a tendency in life to cover all those things over. In your prayer life, I hope you don't. I hope you open up every one of those heart places, every one of those wounds, every one of those places that hurt, and allow God to touch it. God, I want you to help me. Otherwise, here's what it's like. If you're not doing this, here's what it's like. God, I want you to help me, but don't look in this corner over here because it's a mess. I don't want you to be this part of my life, but I really do want you to help me. I really do want you to do this for me, and I want you to do this, but don't look here. Folks, bring your concerns to God. And in the book of James, James says, share your concerns with other Christians that they might pray for you too. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have some really deep hurts and pains, that I'm asking you to come to the pulpit next Sunday and tell the whole congregation. That's not what I'm talking about. Each and every one of us should have somebody that we could go to and we could say, I need you to pray about this for me. It's a hurt, it's an anguish, it's something that's not right. All of us should be able to have somebody to do that with. Now, I know we're Baptist. I don't know about these folks right here. They say Baptist.
Yes.
I know we're Baptist, and Baptists have this incredibly wrong belief. A lot of Baptists do. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. And I am my own priest, and I don't need anybody else to go to God on my behalf. You know what? That's not the belief the Baptists started out with. The belief the Baptists started out with was the priesthood of all believers, not the believer. Which what that means is I believe that Janet is a priest just as I am. And that I can go to her and share with her my concerns and my hurts and my pains, and she can pray for me. Because sometimes I don't know how to pray for myself. That's the priesthood of all believers. That's what Baptists believe. American Baptists believe the priesthood of the believer. I don't need anybody else, and therefore I don't have to share with anybody else. You can't support that from Scripture. You need to go to other folks and open up also. Last thing I want to tell you about prayer today is the last part of the session talks about since we know how to give good things, Luke says, how much more does God know how to do the same? You see, when my son comes to me and asks me for a banana, I don't give him some black cherries. Because my sons don't like black cherries. That was the funniest thing in the world. I went to the neighbor's house one time. We were picking cherries off the cherry tree. And they asked me if they could eat some. And I said, well, I don't know. So I asked the guy who was picking them off his tree. I didn't know if he had sprayed pesticide on them. We needed to wash them first. He said, no, I haven't sprayed the tree at all. And I looked at him as we drove away. I said, go ahead and eat as many as you want. I think they expected them to be maraschino cherries. And they were wonderful, wonderful, sour cherries off the cherry tree. They taste absolutely perfect as far as I'm concerned. They could not get the windows of the car rolled down fast enough to get those cherries out of their mouths. That was a, I don't know how I didn't break the car that day. That was so, so funny. But you see, as a parent, if I know when my boys come to me and say, I want a banana, I know not to give them a black cherry. I know not to give them a wild cherry. I know not to give them a rock. They ask me for a banana. And Luke says, if you as a father know how to do that, how much more does God know how to answer your prayers? How much more does God know how to answer your prayers and give you the right things? How much more? You see, God's not in the business of hide and seek. It says, ask, seek, and knock. And it will be open to you. God's not in the business of hide and seek. God's not in the business of saying, well, you can have this ice cream cone if you do these three or four things the way I asked you to do them. Prayer is an important thing, folks. Paul writes about prayer and he says, pray without ceasing. People look at me and say, well, I got other things to do. Can you pray while you work? Can you pray while you walk? Can you pray while you drive? It's your lifeline. It's something you need to involve your life in. every moment of every day. Not just in times of tragedy, not just in times of sickness. Prayer is an opportunity to commune with God and conversate with God. So I ask you this. What concept about prayer do you need to put into practice? What concept of prayer do you need to put into practice? Is it taking time to be silent so God has opportunity to talk? Is it opening your life deeper than you ever have before and letting God see all the dark spots, all the hurt places? Is it sharing with somebody else so that they can pray for you? It means so much to me when people pray for me. It means so much to me. Because oftentimes you are coming to me asking me to pray for you. When somebody stops me and says, "Can I pray for you, Pastor?" Or, "Pastor, this week I've been praying for you." That's a different thing. For me, at least, that's a different thing. What concept of prayer do you need to put into practice? Let's go down to God. Just be present for a moment before I pray. Lord, if nothing else, you can see as Jesus taught the disciples that prayer is just a conversation with a neighbor. A neighbor that wants to be oh so close. No matter what's going on, a neighbor that wants to help us. A neighbor that wants to open up the answers and wisdom to us. A neighbor that wants to show us the clear path we can walk. Lord, help us to walk as though prayer really is our lifeline. Us to pause that we might truly hear when you speak with us in prayer. Help us to open our lives and share with our sisters and brothers in the faith so that they might pray for us. Help us to really live prayer each and every day.